Hey guys, welcome to the Mental Makeover Podcast. I'm Lauren Curtis. You've probably heard the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side, but I believe it's greener where you water it. This podcast is here to provide you with meaningful advice from myself and others in order to give your little patch of grass the best chance to grow and flourish. Hi everyone, this is probably going to be one of the most important podcasts you listen to this year. I'm really backing myself on this one. It is so life-changing and I can't wait for you to listen to it. I'm joined by Holly Loxton. She has been the one that has helped me with my self-worth, and all of the information given in this episode is just so important. And I know, at least I can speak for myself, I wish I had heard all of this like 10 years ago. Also, at the end of the podcast, she is sharing a very special announcement about a course that she has just launched, which is again like transformational in so many ways. And she has allowed my followers to have a massive discount if they choose to proceed with it. So yeah, if you'd like to hear more about that, then just fast forward to the end of the episode. But I strongly, strongly suggest listening to the whole thing, because I know for myself, I'm going to be referencing back to this probably for the rest of my life. I don't know. It's just so, so good. And yeah, I'm going to stop talking, let you listen to it yourselves. I hope you guys enjoy. So I first came to you about 2 months ago out of a desire to get on top of my self-worth issues. Yeah. I have struggled with that for as long as I can remember, not feeling good enough, inadequacy, self-worth, self-doubt, all that good stuff. And I spoke about this in an episode of the podcast a few weeks back, but never really felt like that was a worthy enough reason or a good enough reason to reach out and seek help. And I guess I just felt like this was who I am and this is the way I was destined to feel forever, because I'm sure many people listening can understand, like, when you feel so strongly about something or when you feel a certain way and you felt that way for so long, like, the possibility of not feeling that way just seemed impossible. It just didn't seem like something that would be easily fixed, for lack of a better word, I guess. So I spoke to Iris. She said that she had those same concerns back when she started seeing you, and gradually over time had got on top of it and it had basically changed her life. And I just thought, wow, like, you know, if someone has had that experience, then what do I have to lose? And we had our first session. And it wasn't, I think we all get into the trap of thinking that, like, our problems are unique to us and that no one else experiences them and no one else can relate. And so one of the first things you said is, this isn't like a unique problem or issue or concern of yours. Like, we all struggle with this. So you call it the not good enough program.
Yes, I do. Because it is a program that has been installed in you from various different things, which I'll get into in a second, but I can definitely speak from experience here. This is what I deal with 99% of my clients. 99.9. Everyone that I see, no matter whether they are, you know, suffering any sort of addiction or they're, you know, high-flying business people, which is, you know, the high-performance clients is what I'm really doing a little bit more of these days. But every single person that I see has some version of this not good enough / unworthiness program installed in them. And there's a few different reasons for it, and I can definitely speak from my own story as well. I had intense self-loathing my entire life. And it wasn't until I did this work really deeply that I was able to unravel it and get over it and pull it apart. But even still, some days it's like, oh, that feels like rejection, or, you know, maybe I'm not good enough at something, and I've got to remind myself that it's just a program. So, but the actual hook is not there anymore, if that makes sense. The hook and the shame and all of that that we get to dive into. So no one is exempt. It's part of the world that we live in. And the few reasons, I'll give you the cliff notes for the few reasons, because there's you go into each reason quite deeply, but there's just not enough time, and it's different for every single person. So the whole not good enough program, it really stems from a few different things. One is the trauma that gets passed down from generation to generation. So whatever your parents possessed unconsciously got passed down to you. And because we live in a highly traumatized society, really, thinking back, you know, the wars and stuff were not that long ago. Basically what happens is that if your parents had low self-worth, then you're going to grow up having low self-worth. The little micro traumas that you experience in your childhood as well. So, you know, you get lost in the shops when you're 5 years old. And, you know, what really happened is that you got lost in the shops. What the five-year-old sits there and thinks is like, oh my God, no one wants me. My parents have abandoned me because I got lost in the shops.
Mm.
That sort of thing. You know, if your parents were really strict on you, or if they were yelling at you a lot and disciplining you and not backing that up with telling you how much that they loved you and that sort of thing, like that disciplinary action can really encourage this whole not good enough program or this I'm not worthy program. All the other little rejections that then compound on top of this stuff really just adds to it and adds to it and adds to it. And suddenly you're like, oh, I just feel so unworthy. I feel like I'll never be good enough to, you know, do the things that we want to do or live the life that you want. And then we've got our whole schooling system, you know, it's really geared towards you're not good enough unless you get these grades. You're not good enough unless you have this pathway into university or a trade or, you know, whatever, even sporting events and that sort of stuff. You're not good enough unless you get first prize and that sort of thing. Not that I'm really an advocate of giving, you know, participation medals or anything like that, but it's just that's geared towards that not good enough program. And then, of course, there's advertising, which is probably, I think, the biggest component the more I look into it, especially in our generation. So we've got like we've had TV and radio since we were born. That's a fact. And when you look at it, the power of suggestion, there is no money in you believing that you are perfect and whole and complete. No one would be able to sell you anything if you didn't think that you were faulty in some way. And I think with companies that are really starting to cotton onto this and get into integrity, like Iris's company, they're taking a different tactic with the way that they're showcasing their goods rather than trying to find or create a pain point in you so that you are then pressured to buy. But for the most part, we're still stuck in this advertising paradigm of, you know, you're not good enough unless you look a certain way, unless you drive a certain car. You know, this car will give you all of the stuff that you're lacking. It's like all of this unworthiness that you feel. Look, this car will make it all go away, or, you know, this, whatever it is, whatever they're trying to sell you, they're really pressing on that not good enough button.
And isn't it funny, I was cutting, isn't it funny that once you do get that thing that you feel like will fix everything, guess what? Nothing's fixed.
Nope. You feel better for about 3 minutes.
And then it just goes back to how it was before.
And then you get stuck in the trap of wanting to fill that void inside you with more and more stuff. And so now we're at a time where we are just this rampant consumerism in Western society because we're all trying to fill this void inside, this hole of deep unworthiness, this unsettling feeling that we've been conditioned to experience, and we're trying to fill it with stuff rather than going inside and really doing the deep inner work. And so it's really sad that this is where it's got to, but it can definitely be corrected.
Do you think that's also, like, consumerism is a very obvious example. Do you think it would also play out in excessive eating, exercising, shopping, plastic surgery, or even going the complete opposite way and people don't feel like they'll go to another extreme of, like, you know,
I'll never be good enough, so why even bother trying?
It happens
a lot.
There's so many different ways it can play out. Like, maybe addiction of any kind is, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a billion different reasons why someone becomes addicted to something, but it's not just like, there are so many different ways that we try to fill that hole. And more often than not, we don't even realize that's the actual reason why we're doing it. It just feels good in the moment, so you want more of what feels good, don't you?
Yep, because the miniature dopamine hit that you get from it temporarily makes you feel a bit better about yourself, and then you know, but then you need another one because the same problem is still in the subconscious mind and in the heart. And yeah, it is just that band-aid solution, like you said. And it's so sad because there's so many people really feeling so unaccepted by themselves and then by others. And then they're just living these lives of trying to fill this void without actually ever getting there.
Mm.
And it destroys relationships. It destroys, you know, self-worth and self-esteem is a program as well. And I want people to really understand this truth.
Mm.
I want to get this message out as far and wide as possible. Your worthiness was never up for debate.
Mm.
It doesn't even come into the equation. It doesn't. It's like you're breathing, you're alive, you are humaning the best you possibly can. Like, yep. Well done. Yep. Congratulations, you're human.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now a journey of being able to accept all parts of you and really integrate them so that you can fully love every single aspect of you as the amazing human that you are. And then from that space, you can move forward.
And that's what we've been speaking a little bit about today off microphone. It's easy to say to yourself, you know, I am a good person, and you should be looking in the mirror and acknowledging your good traits and what you bring to the world and what you're proud of. And like, you know, I'm really good at this, or I'm really good at that, or I, you know, treat my friends really well or whatever. That's great. But it's one thing to do that. It's also one thing to acknowledge
the parts of you that you once deemed unlovable.
Yeah.
Or that you're still deeming unlovable.
Yeah. For example, I'll use myself as an example. I am very stubborn, and it's really hard for me to admit that I'm wrong. And I'm very lucky to have a partner who helps me with that and who is the opposite. So that encourages me to get off my, as you say, a graceful dismount of my high horse. and work on that. But, or even if I find myself being judgmental towards someone, something, and not in like a malicious way, again, I would never say it to their face, but in my head, I'm watching TV or something, and I'm seeing someone be a certain way, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, how could they do that or say that or act that way? And it's a case of, like, if you can acknowledge that you're behaving in that way, it's not making yourself feel guilty that you've had those thoughts or that you feel that way. It's acknowledging that part of you exists and showing it love and acceptance, because it's part of what makes you you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as humans, we are all things. We are all things. And, you know, I get a lot of pushback from people on this because they say, I could never murder someone. Well, if someone threatened your child, if you have a child, you know, or threatened your safety, you have it in you.
Mm-hmm.
You are human. You have it in you to murder someone. And this is part of the deep, deep shadow work that we get to do if we're really interested in fully integrating all parts of us, is to look at and love all of those aspects of us, all of the things that we actually hate about ourselves, being able to really look at them and be present with them and actually be able to love that part of us. And of course, that doesn't condone, you know, behavior that traumatizes others or anything like that. But the more you don't look at it, the more you're going to unconsciously then traumatize other people.
Because
you don't have any control over it. Yeah. If you're shaming that part of you, it's like you stuff it down and stuff it down and stuff it down and you hate it and you spend your entire life running away from 50% of yourself. Suddenly it's like it comes out swinging when you are, you know, you've had a few too many drinks, or you're having a fight with your partner, or something, you know, someone calls you a name or whatever. And that's when these parts of you come out, because you've been shaming them for so long that, you know, a lot of it is defense mechanism stuff anyway. So really, can you actually love the part of you that is stubborn when you are defending yourself?
And that's it. And it also, if you can acknowledge it, or if I can acknowledge, ooh, I'm being a little bit judgmental, like, that's okay. I accept that part of myself, but I'm choosing to behave differently or think differently or to, you know, change my thought process. It also stops the poison from spreading almost, because if I've noticed that I'm being judgmental and I say to myself, oh, you're being such a mean person, you say all these horrible things, then you start to feel shame, and then you go from judging someone else to judging yourself, And then, like, you've created there's no way out of that where you feel, like, relief or love or compassion or empathy for yourself. And so if you acknowledge that you've behaved a certain way, but you accept it and you acknowledge it and it's okay, and you choose to make better decisions next time, if, you know, it creates, like, a safe space for yourself almost.
Absolutely. And you can't make a change without awareness.
Mm.
You know, awareness precedes change. So the moment that you do go into stubbornness and you go, oh, actually, I just realized I'm being really stubborn again, that's my go-to default defense mechanism.
Mm.
Oh, I love that part of me. I'm just trying to protect myself. Oh, that's so
makes it sound so wholesome.
Yeah, it's, oh, I'm being a judgmental bitch again. Oh, I'm choosing to love that part of me now because I know that my judgmental side is just trying to protect me.
Mm.
And trying to keep me safe. And now that I know that and I can see that and I can love that, then I can choose differently. Because no one likes, like, the reason why people are so scared of judgment is because they know what they think about other people in their heads.
Mm.
Right? We all do it.
True.
And it's only when you can actually then say, okay, well, yeah, I'm totally, totally scared of everyone's judgment because I say the most awful things about myself and other people, you know, as well too. Like, people that are most judgmental of others always reserve the most criticism for themselves every single time. Anyone that I come into contact with that exhibits an extreme level of criticism for other people and really likes to pull people to pieces and that sort of stuff to try and make themselves feel better and justify their position about things, oh, every single time, their self-worth is ridiculously low.
Do you think that's why people enjoy watching, I don't know, we were talking about Married at First Sight earlier. If
I haven't even seen one episode of that. Oh, I don't want to.
Well, I was doing a good run of it. Anyway, sidetracked. You watch an episode and then you think it makes you and your relationship feel so normal. Oh, you know, look at, I would never behave that way. I would never do that. Look at my relationship. It's so easy to think those things because you're watching these people who are just like living in this ball of chaos, just go nuts. And so you look at that and it's so easy to, like, you know, it's like low hanging fruit to make yourself feel better about yourself, your relationship, your appearance, anything. Oh, I would never get my lips blown up that bit. Like, it's so petty, but it makes yourself feel better. Whereas, like, goes back to the whole thing. You don't need to bring others down in order to bring yourself up. We don't need to put others down in order to bring yourself up.
Yeah, this is where people also have an issue with full self-expression.
Mm.
You know, they're so scared to express themselves.
Yeah.
Like, really authentically express themselves because they're scared of what other people are going to think of them because of what they've thought about other people being in full self-expression.
Yes.
So, and this is the world of masks that we live in, and I think we touched on this in the last episode that we did together, that everyone is running around wearing this mask of what they think other people will accept them for. And as that happens, everyone's engaging with all these masks, thinking that everyone else is okay, when very few people are actually okay.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and it can be really triggering for someone to, you know, and I see a lot of internet trolling and all this sort of stuff going on when someone does authentically show up as themselves and, like, really does not give a single F about what other people think of them, and they're just here, like, I'm here, this is my opinion on something, this is, you know, this is me, fully me, etc., etc. And people like to try and take them down for it, but they're only getting triggered by that because it's something that they're never able to do themselves because they're too scared of the judgment. Because of look at their actions, they're trolling other people for being themselves. So they are then scared of that happening to them if they were to show up authentically.
Yeah, love that. So true.
You would know that in the YouTube world.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, that's why even for the last few years I've been so big on saying things like, there are no rules when it comes to makeup. People, like, it would be the smallest things. I would do, like, a black smoky eyeshadow look and red lips, and people were like, you can't wear that. You can't put dark eyes and bright lips together. That looks too much, like, it makes you look like this or that. And then at the time, because I was probably, like, I don't know, like 21 or something, I was like, oh no, I can't wear that eyeshadow look again. But really, that person just wouldn't have had the confidence to wear that themselves. It had nothing to do with me. It just was I had the confidence to do that. Same thing if you see someone that's got, you know, bright rainbow hair. It's easy to be like, oh, that person dressed like that or wearing that or with that kind of makeup. But, like, what? They have the confidence to express themselves.
Yeah.
What's so bad about that?
Exactly.
I envy that. And now I see people that are, like, wacky in any, in I guess, compared to my style or beliefs or whatever. And I'm like, good for you. Like, amazing. Imagine being that. Like, I can only imagine how liberating that must be.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also really easy to look at that person and be like, weirdo, because as you just said, it's easier to, it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
In the moment, but it's probably killing a little part of you inside every time you do that.
Yeah, it does. And this is the other, like, I just think back when I was younger, I've always been pretty independent and able to sort of speak my truth a bit, even though, like, I still fell into the wearing of the mask and all of that myself. But, like, I used to wear combat boots and dresses, and now they're all the rage. People used to look at me so weirdly, and I'm like, now everyone's doing it.
Trendsetter.
I know, right? I just, like, peaked 10 years too early. But people used to look at me weirdly, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, you know, this is where the whole love and compassion thing and first of all, having the love and compassion for yourself and getting really acquainted with those deep parts of yourself that at some point you had a situation in your childhood where someone shut you down for something. They told you that the feelings or how you were expressing yourself was not okay. And there was so much emotion around it that attached itself to that moment that you made a belief system about that particular feeling, emotion, or about yourself. I'm not good enough if I show up like this, you know? And then you carry that throughout your entire life. It sits as a part of your personality.
Mm. We talked about that during one of our sessions, a couple of weeks ago, where I think I was in high school. I was probably in year 8 or 9, and at that point I used to wear op shopping. I used to wear like old grandpa jumpers and like knitted things, and I love the fact that I did that and I wasn't scared about, because I was friends with girls that were like super beautiful and pretty and like wearing beautiful clothes and form-fitting outfits and stuff, and I was wearing like grandpa jumpers, and I love that I didn't conform to that. I think I probably ended up doing it, which perhaps could have just been a change of my taste as I grew up and matured. But anyway, when I was around that age, my sister, I think she was vegan at this point, and I had probably just become vegetarian. I think I was 14 when I became vegetarian, so yeah, would have been year 9. And she had these shirts that had pictures of animals on them, and it said why love one and kill the other. It was like dogs and cats and sheep and cows or something.
Yeah.
And I was really passionate about not wanting to eat meat, because in my mind that was a value of mine that was really, right. I thought it was right to not eat meat, so I was passionate about talking about it. Anyway, so I remember, I can't even remember like what actually went down, but I do remember that eventually, I don't think I was the kind of person to push it down people's throats or anything. I think I would just like, I was still pretty shy and quiet, so I think I would wear these things, and like, it was just such a, I wouldn't have gone up to people and said, why are you eating meat? Because I've never done that. I feel like if you want to eat meat, that's awesome, go for your life. But I don't know how it came up, but anyway, I must have annoyed some of the girls that I was friends with, because they would say behind my back, and it would somehow come back to me, oh, Lauren's so opinionated, Lauren's so annoying, just basically saying that me being opinionated was bad, and it was bringing all this negative attention to me, someone who was really shy and quiet and was just really passionate about something. And so the more I made the connection between me expressing myself and being passionate about something, then meant that the people that I was friends with didn't like me or had bad things to say about me. I then learnt that, okay, if you keep those things quiet, you keep your friends, which mm-hmm. obviously I had the wrong friends to begin with, but that is something we learn in hindsight. And so that kind of trickled down into probably YouTube as well, where I remember one video, I said I wasn't religious, and then I had all these personal handwritten letters and emails and people saying, I'm going to unsubscribe to you and hope you find God and hope you do this and how dare you, and going nuts at me just because, wow, I shared something that I didn't, you know, I wasn't saying religion is wrong. I was just saying, I'm just not religious, just not my vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these little things happened. And then now I'm coming to you as a 27-year-old saying, not being able to express myself. And you said, and I didn't realize that I do it. I say something and I immediately justify it. Well, before I even say it, I justify it. Because in my mind, if I'm truly expressing myself and telling you exactly how I feel, you're going to judge me for that.
Yeah.
If it's going to reflect badly on me. So this is something that I didn't even, for 13 years ago, happened probably one day, maybe a couple days, and accumulated, perhaps built up slowly, a few little other situations happen, and then it culminates into this thing that I'm still carrying with me that dictates my behavior every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is how trauma forms and is stuck in the body, in the subconscious mind.
Mm.
So it's, you know, that situation that you had caused you so much pain. You had such an emotional reaction to it because it felt like rejection. And as we know, the subconscious doesn't like rejection because rejection equals death. Because, you know, when you're in a tribal situation thousands of years ago, if you got rejected from your tribe, you would probably die. And so that's why it feels so awful. However, we know now, like going into the evolution of humanity, I believe that rejection is protection. It's just that, you know, someone else has figured out that you're not in alignment before you did. So it's like, oh, thank you. Cool. Thanks for picking that up. I don't have to, you know, it's still going to hurt a bit, especially if you're really attached to that person, like it was a lover or a best friend or whatever. But it's actually saving you in the long run because you don't, you know, you're obviously growing apart. Anyway, side tangent.
No, but I think that's really important though. Perhaps they just realized it before you.
Yeah.
Before you did. I think that's really important. Just a little, it's a little nugget there for people who might be going through a breakup or something. I get messages all the time, people saying they're going through breakups.
Mm.
Perhaps it's a good thing because they saved you from spending more of your precious time with someone who didn't value you as much as someone else
could value you. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And what they do, you know, I really think that wasting someone's time is probably the worst thing you could ever do. You know, staying in relationships too long, you're wasting your own time, you're wasting that other person's time. And so when you realize, when you have that deep realization that you're in the wrong relationship, that's a good responsibility piece for you to go, oh, okay, I'm going to be respectful of this person that I once had so much love for and spent so much time with, enough respect for them to exit the relationship and allow them to find someone who's more in alignment. And this can go, you know, so many times I get a lot of people that have, you know, been through different jobs and stuff as well, and myself been through different jobs, like I've been fired from a couple of jobs. The jobs weren't actually, like, when you look at it in retrospect, they weren't in alignment for where I was going next. And so, you know, it was upsetting at the time, but then always something better has opened up.
Yeah.
Then it's just life, like,
motto.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I didn't need to be there.
What was meant for me will never miss me, and what misses me was never meant for me.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, that's nice.
So I've got quite a few little...
Yes, queen little, golden nuggets.
Little golden nuggets, yeah. I think my version of that is what is meant for you will never pass you by.
That's nice.
My other favourite one is loving someone that doesn't love you is like waiting for a ship at the airport. You're wasting your time.
Yeah, set yourself free. Set them free. Set everyone, just be free.
Yeah, and in doing so, you open up the space and the energy to find someone even better that's in alignment with you, that's what you truly, truly want.
And another nugget, I don't know if you told me this or Kyla said, when you say, oh, was it Iris? I don't know, someone. Always positive people in my life. When you say yes to something, you say no to something else.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, it was you. Yeah.
It could have been those people, but they got it from me.
No, that's true. No, I've been saying that to so many people as well. Like, in so many different situations, even though you have to say no to something right now, whether it be out of your choice or not by choice, who knows what's going to open up for you that would have otherwise not been available to you had you been stuck in that situation that you wish you were still in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. So every time you say yes to, you know, eating bad food, you're saying no to the health that you really want. Every time you say yes to staying in a relationship where you saw the red flags 12,000 times, you know, then you're saying no to the relationship of your dreams.
Mm.
And so this is really important. This is, we always have a choice with every single thing that we do, even in the current situation that we're diving into in, you know, the world at the moment, you get a choice now. You can dive into fear, or you can choose to dive into love around this. How can you possibly improve your life and improve the lives of those around you? What sort of energy do you hold? Or are you going to allow yourself to really, you know, just spiral into fear? On the topic of relationships, if you want to go into that just briefly, like, that is one of the places where you are going to be the most triggered. Because someone is getting close to you and they are usually going to poke on every single not good enough unworthiness wound that you have in some way. So it is then, you know, this is what I'm going to be really diving into, not only with you, and it's quite often what I do with my other coaching clients, but also the upcoming course that I've got, like, how to really have amazing relationships, starting with the relationship with yourself. It's just so important, because when you don't feel good enough, you're then going to attract people in your life that are going to reflect that back to you, which is part of the reason why people have, like, so much fights and all this sort of stuff. And it's just so important that you are doubling down on your self-esteem.
And that ties in back into what we're talking about at this, you know, well, the whole point of this podcast as well. It's like, if you have beliefs about yourself, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not pretty enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not strong enough, you're not this, whatever, you're looking for ways, situations, experiences, people, anything to justify the way you feel about yourself. You're going through life with a filter. Oh yeah, see, I didn't do that properly. Oh, I'm not smart enough. Or that person didn't call me back, didn't want to go on a second date with me, didn't want to hang out. Oh, you know, I'm not good enough, not pretty enough. But if you're looking, and that's why I really do try to focus on having a positive outlook and finding the silver lining. Like, if I go through life thinking that everything happens for a reason, I'm always on the right path. If something goes wrong, that's okay. Might be annoying, but who knows where that will take me and who knows what's in store for me. Exciting, cool, can't wait. Yeah, in the moment I might be angry or stressed out or whatever, but the same thing with the way I feel about myself. It's like, and we're still working on it. If I feel a sense of inadequacy or that I'm not good enough, like, stopping myself before I tunnel into that thought even more. And what would your recommendation be for someone in that same situation? Say someone's seen something that validates an insecurity of theirs. Mm-hmm. What would be the next step once they've acknowledged that they're feeling that way?
Okay, so there's a few different things to ask yourself. First of all, you've got to get really acquainted with your inner child, because it's actually your inner child that's getting triggered. Mm. Because remember that what I was saying before with the initial wounding pattern, that it was the child at some point made the decision and formed the belief that regard in that way, you know, there was a limiting belief formed there. They weren't good enough, they weren't pretty enough, smart enough, whatever it was, whatever limiting belief it was that was formed. There was enough emotional charge around it that they formed that opinion, and then it just got reinforced and compounded over time. So getting back in touch with your inner child and just being able to sit with him or her and go, oh, what are we really feeling here? Why do I not feel good enough? And is that even true? One of my favorite questions to ask is the game of awareness that we get to play. Is it really true? Is that what's really happening here? That person broke up with you. What? Because you're not good enough? Is that true? Or are you just not in alignment?
Mm.
When you really look at the situation objectively, did it have anything to do with them being good enough or you being good enough? You're just people. It's like, I make this joke all the time. I've got this beautiful black cat. And I'm never going to tell her, Missy, you're not catting well enough today. Like, why don't you cat harder, cat better? You're not a good enough cat. She's a cat.
Good enough cat. It sounds silly when you think about a cat, but, like, we say the exact same things about ourselves.
Yeah, we are human.
Mm-hmm.
It's got nothing to do with being good enough. It's got everything to do with alignment and finding out what's really true in your heart. And there is this saying as well, like, first you make your beliefs and then your beliefs make you.
Ooh, love that little nugget.
Yeah, and then you go out into the universe and it matches your beliefs.
Mm.
Whatever you believe to be true for you is true for you. That's the power of placebo.
Yeah.
That's why the power of placebo is so powerful.
I want to study that more.
Oh, it's so good. There's a book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called You Are the Placebo. Fantabulous book.
Ooh.
And it's it's just so important to understand that the power of our minds and everything that we believe on a subconscious level is literally creating our reality. If you truly believe that all men are assholes, and you know, and you believe that to the core of your being, guess what's going to show up for you?
More assholes.
Yeah, more assholes, right? So this is the thing, you've got to figure out where that came from. Why did you develop this belief? It's going to be one of the five things. I'm not safe, I'm not loved, I'm not heard, I'm not seen, I'm not enough. Those are usually the five triggers. So whatever's happening in your environment, whatever's triggering you and having you feel a particular limiting belief, figure out, connect with your inner child, figure out what's really going on for you on the deeper level.
Can you repeat that, those five things again?
Yep. So the five core wounds are not safe, not heard, not seen, not loved, or not enough.
There we go. That's very insightful.
Yeah. They are usually this very, very deepest layer of whatever's triggering you in your life.
I'm gonna write that down. So if I'm getting triggered by something, if I'm feeling a certain way, say if I'm having an argument with someone, then the way I'm feeling is probably a result of one of those
five things. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Love that.
Really, really important, because it's never about who took the bins out. Okay.
<Nope. laughs>
It's, you know, you aren't respecting me enough, which respect equals love, right? You're not hearing me, you're not seeing me. It's one of those things.
Interesting.
So yeah, in regards to, you know, being able to sort out the whatever limiting belief you're dealing with it in the time, so you get triggered, you look inside, you go into your, connect with your inner child, because the trigger is the treasure. Once you get to heal these triggers, they just generally stop showing up for you, right? Which is the really cool part. So connecting with your inner child, figuring out what's really going on, what limiting belief system is actually being poked right now, what wound is being poked at this moment, and then looking at the situation with curiosity and compassion and just asking yourself, is that really true? Does this situation have anything to do with me not feeling like, with me being enough as a human? Or is it just that someone's growing in a different way to what I am and I'm no longer in alignment with them?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it can be that simple.
It usually is.
Yeah. I think we have a tendency, especially probably women, or not even women, just people in general, I guess, to overanalyze and nitpick. Oh, he broke up with me. I know, I did it before. I was dating a guy before Reese. Analyze every conversation you had, every move that was made, and it's like, oh, okay. And you have this like essay of all these possible reasons what happened. When now, looking back on years and years and years later, I'm like, just so incompatible. And thank you to him for realizing it before I did.
Yeah, awesome. In the moment, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. In the moment, you're like, oh my God, you have to find a tangible, logical reason, because you feel like just saying that you're on different paths just doesn't nurse that part of you that hurts. Whereas if you can put reasons and give all these reasons and make sense of it, then perhaps you get a bit of relief.
Sometimes, or it can just feed back into that belief system and then cause you more pain, because
which
then
you've been 99%
Yeah, that's where, you know, that whole baggage thing comes from. You're literally taking your ex into the next.
Ooh, and well, that's a good one too. Yeah.
It's like all of that stuff that was pulled up in you, and all of that unworthiness and the limiting belief systems and everything that person triggered by leaving you, or even just treating you badly and you left them and whatever, you then take that into your next relationship because you haven't healed it.
Yeah.
And then guess what? It's probably going to show up for you again.
Yep.
So anything you've got in your life that's showing up as a pattern really gets to be looked at. It gets to be healed and loved and released. Really, really, really important. And this is how you get to the point where you are actually in full integrity with yourself. You've got full clarity on what you really, really want for your life. You're fully expressed because you don't care about other people's judgment, because you're not really judging them anymore from a place of being bitter. Even if you do, it's just like, oh, I fell into being human again. Me and my humanness. Humaning all over the place right now. And then, you know, from that you get to move on, and you don't take that bitterness or that guilt or that shame. Shame is the lowest vibration emotion that we can feel. You don't want to take that in and being a person that had to deal with the most intense shame spiral until I was 30.
Mm.
I'm only 34 this year.
Mm.
And this is where the really deep healing comes in too, because I'd done so much spiritual work, spiritual development, personal development, and I'd got a lot of things from a head level. And it wasn't until I did this sort of process, going in, connecting with the inner child and doing that really deep healing stuff all the time, was it actually able to sink in at a heart level. And that's really, you know, that's where it counts, I think.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the time as well, if you can get to the point that you've just described, if someone says something nasty to you, normally most of us would take that on board. And if you say to me, if not you, but if a random stranger online says to me, this video sucked, then in my mind, I'm like, see, I knew this wasn't going to be good enough. I knew it wasn't going to be. And so I've taken that poison and I've ingested it, and now it's spreading throughout me, and I've allowed, they were a conduit. It comes straight through to me, and it's affecting me and it's poisoning me. But if that person comes to me and I know my worth and I know that I did the best job that I could, and they say that nasty thing to me, that poison stops with them. That's their own, you know, they can clean up that mess. I'm not choosing to allow that into my life.
Nope.
And it means that stops there. I can walk away, no weight on my shoulders, feeling good, unaffected, purely because I know that, one, it was never about me in the first place, but two, that's not who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're not going to be, there's another saying that I like, you know, you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea, but you might be someone's shot of whiskey.
Yes.
You know, and it comes down to that whole ice cream analogy that I love using. Some people like vanilla, some people like chocolate. You like bubblegum. I don't like bubblegum.
You like me and I don't like me.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it's, you know, you, for that person that watched that YouTube video and said that you sucked, you weren't their flavor that day.
Yeah.
They're giving you their projections and their limitations, especially. So this is going to be gold dust. This podcast is going to be full of so many little quips that I had a saying the other day that I put on my Instagram. What was it? It was, don't let anyone in the cheap seats give you expensive advice.
Mm.
Like, don't take advice from someone that's not in the ring with you, basically.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone is going to give you advice based on their own limitations and their own projections of what they think that you should do, like, really, unless someone's doing exactly the thing that I want to be doing or is playing at the level that I want to play at, I'm not going to be taking good advice from them.
No, and I don't want to be pigeonholed and kept in their little box with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's thanks.
Have you heard the bucket of crabs analogy?
No.
Oh, okay. So
another one coming.
This is great. This is just a podcast full of short one-liners and analogies.
My kind of podcast.
Bucket of crabs. So you basically, what happens if you put a whole bunch of crabs in a bucket and they try to start climbing out, the other ones will grab their legs and pull them back in.
Aww.
Yeah, that's how you can keep a whole
Aww.
Bucket full of crabs, because they will literally pull each other back into the bucket.
Oh, why?
Because they, I don't know why.
Oh, that's so depressing. Back into the ocean. Anyway, they've got a duck.
But this is the thing as well. It's like, are you going to be around people? And in Australia, you know, we just have this rife tall poppy syndrome, and everyone's not feeling good enough. So everyone wants to make sure everyone else doesn't feel good enough either. As a culture, we don't tend to lift people up and really celebrate their wins either. So that's really sad. And it comes back down to the whole not good enough, and also to judgment and that sort of thing. So if we're all to just go, you know what? Every single person is feeling not good enough right now.
Mm.
Or 99% of people are feeling not good enough right now. And if we all knew that, and we could all just go, oh, cool, well, guess I'm not alone then. Time to take off the mask. What would happen if I just turned up and was myself authentically today?
Mm.
You know?
And it even is just as simple as thinking, like, what actually is enough? How do you quantify that for me? Yeah. But really, how do you measure that? At what point in your life are you going to reach that will... Like, do you really think you're going to reach a point where you stop and think, I did it. I made it. I am enough.
Yeah, I'm enough now. Who are you waiting to anoint you as worthy? Mm. Exactly.
And how's it measured? Like, you're allowing something to fully control you or to have complete power over your life that
doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. It's so simple, but I think when you think about it, sometimes we overcomplicate things. And it's only people like, oh, when I have that big house, when I get that perfect relationship, when I have a perfect family, I'll be happy, I'll be enough. It's like, yeah, sure, you feel good. Those things won't bring you unhappiness. Maybe they come with a whole different range of emotions. But if you're still carrying that void with you, once you reach that goalpost, you're going to set the next one a little bit further away, and a little bit further away. So you'll be like 90 years old thinking, oh, I achieved all this stuff, but how come I feel no different to when I was 20, telling myself that once I had all this stuff, everything will be fixed and good?
Generally, people in that situation feel worse because they've been trying to feel that whole, their whole life, and they have, as a result, sacrificed all the things that did mean everything to them, like family, friends, that sort of stuff. And this isn't to say, like, I just want to give a caveat here for anyone saying, well, if I'm enough by default, then I don't need to do anything with my life. It's actually the opposite is what happens. So when you know that you're already enough, you're already worthy, no one's coming to anoint you, you've got to do it yourself, and it doesn't even come into the equation anyway, it's like no longer are you trying to prove yourself to anyone else or yourself. You're coming from a space of, well, I'm just going to go and do these cool things because I just want to, because I want to. And this is by far and wide, like, it releases the shackles on people that had issues with achieving things in the first place, like people that were like, oh, you know, I never finish anything, or, you know, they're scared of failure or scared of success or whatever. When we take that away, they can suddenly start basically jumping into alignment with what it is they do want, not what they think they have to do in order to prove themselves as worthy.
Yeah.
But also too, it's like they just have the energy and the drive. They just want to do it because they can, not because they have to, not because they're trying to prove anything. And then if they don't do it to the standard that they thought they were going to do it, then they don't worry about it.
Yep.
And this is such a, you know, it's such a beautiful thing. People actually end up achieving more in their life, but from a place of, I'm having fun with this.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this process.
Yep.
I'm not trying to make myself feel better in some way.
And as, like, bringing it back to me as well, we spoke about with my business, like, instead of me making decisions based on how other people will react, or how other people will feel, or how other people will respond, or how it will make me look to other people, doing things because I want to do them, because it makes me happy, not because I'm scared about their response, but because I actually want to do that. And that's just a small example. Like, imagine how many people were listening to this. Like, imagine if you had the courage to do that one thing you wanted to do and had no concerns or fears about what other people thought about you doing that. Oh my God, imagine how your world would open up.
Think about the amazing creative pursuits. Like, we have a pretty rich life with artists and creatives and that sort of stuff anyway, but there's so many people out there that have shut down their own creative drive. Like, humans are creation machines. We are so incredible. Imagine all the stuff that we could have done if we didn't care what anyone else thought, because we were already worthy.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa.
You're already perfect and whole and complete. Like, you being you right now, yes, there's things to heal, because and part of the process that I take people through, you know, we're not adding anything to you. We're actually peeling back all of the programs and the layers and the bullshit stories and the belief systems that were installed in you, so that at the end of it all, you're actually more you than you've ever been.
Yeah.
Which is such a beautiful process. Nice, and you get to stand in that and go, hey, this is me. And either you can take me or don't take me. It doesn't matter to me anymore.
Boom! That would be the perfect note to end on.
So the course, I'm so excited.
Yay!
I'm so excited for this course, because I'm really capping out now at personal clients, and I love working with people, and I really want to be able to serve more people. I think now is a really, really good time. People are, you know, we've got the chance now to really go inside and really decide who it is we want to be in the world. What is really true for us? Get full clarity on who you are as a person, and have, you know, start ripping off those parts of you that are just not you. So the whole not good enough program, you know, we're going to be dissolving that. How to get around limiting belief systems, all that sort of thing. We're going to be covering mindset mastery, because your mind is a tool, and it is a good tool to use. However, if you don't have control over your mind, it has control over you. We'll definitely be touching on anxiety and that sort of thing, you know, even to a degree, a little bit of depression and that. So that'll be quite a good part to it. And then relationships, it's going to be a really good one. And there's some bonuses in there too. So there'll be, I've got a beautiful woman coming on who's a functional medicine nutritionist who'll be giving us tips and tricks on what to eat, because your physical health is just as important as your mental and emotional health. Like, you want to get all of these in line. I've got a beautiful personal trainer friend of mine coming in to talk about sleep, digestion, training, and all of these parts, like getting them all working simultaneously so that you can feel amazing about yourself, both on the inside and on the outside. And then you get to decide from there what you want to do with your life. Like, this is a total life transformation.
That's so exciting. It's really exciting because I think it's cool for me because, you know, you started with Iris and then another client, and then through that client I came to you, and then through it, it's like, it's so, we've all been able to transform our lives with all of this knowledge that you've given us and the help and the mentoring. But to be able to help all these other people that aren't able to come to see you face to face but still have that effect on them, and still, like, to be able to help people at scale is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's one thing to be able to, like, you know, have these podcast episodes and have your insight shared with my following, but to also actually be able to give them the tools and the knowledge and the power, being able to take all the information that you have and being able to condense that and, yeah, pass it on to so many other people. As I was saying, it's really cool being able to see in person, face to face, but obviously so many people don't have that luxury, so to be able to offer that to them regardless of location or time zones or anything like that, or all that stuff, just to have it there in a nice little package at their disposal is really empowering and exciting.
It also means they can go back over the videos and stuff as well, and they'll be able to really, like, take it out into their everyday life and apply it. And then if they forget parts, they can come back to, you know, the relationship section or the health section and just remind themselves about what they're really doing. There's also going to be a really supportive group container on Facebook. At the moment, it's on Facebook. It might go to a different platform, but for now it's going to be on Facebook. And that's going to be really special because the power of group is really good as well. So it's just going to be a really supportive container, but then people are going to be able to submit anything that they're struggling with, either anonymously, or they don't, you know, they don't have to say who they are. They can submit questions to me about what they're struggling with, and I will address them on a live every fortnight.
Love that. And what
it's the closest thing you'll get to working with me basically at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. Where do we find that magical course?
Where do you find it? There is a landing page. You can purchase it on hollyloxton.com. So that's HOLLYLOXTON.com. And I've actually got a beautiful gift for your listeners. So they'll get $1,000 off the course. So it makes it easy and accessible for everyone. So they get $1,000 off if they use the coupon code LOZ, and I'm sure you'll put that in the link or anything as well. But I'm just so excited to be able to receive everyone and help more people. I truly believe that, you know, healed people heal other people. Just as hurt people, healed people heal others. And so I want to live in a world where everyone's really interested in healing themselves and having a good life and really reaching their potential and just enjoying their lives, basically. Yeah.
And I think coming from someone like me, and I spoke about this in that episode about, I think it was called Why I'm Going to Therapy, is it's like sometimes we downplay our worries or our fears or our concerns because we feel like someone else has got it worse, or who are we to, you know, reach out for help because other people have gone through something. Like, I don't think people realize how limited they actually might be by their beliefs or their, belief systems about themselves or about the world, or I don't know. I just think from personal experience, for someone like me who I haven't been through something traumatic in my past, I hadn't, you know, I didn't feel like I was a candidate to go and do this kind of work. I just didn't think it was something that I would really benefit from. But going through it, you realize how much is actually holding you back and how big the world can be and how much can open up for you and how liberating it feels when you start doing the work. And of course, not everyone can afford it, and it might not everyone will be able to do it, but just for those of you who really do want to invest in your future and yourself, and you know there's a lot of room for not improvement but just
evolution,
that's exactly, it's very, I don't know, I'm just super excited. I think, like, as you said, what better time than right now when we all have this time at home in isolation? Like, let's absolutely make the most of it while we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually a really, like, I'm honored to be helping people at this time. I've really hit my stride in helping people and supporting people at this time. Like, I'm actually really very, very blessed, I feel, to be helping people in through such a interesting and for very many tough time. So it's just going to be that extra added layer of support while you're doing the inner healing work.
Mm.
Because we will come out of this at the end.
Yeah.
And at the end, you know, do you want to go back into your old habit and your old life, or do you want to have done something amazing for yourself, got super clear on what it is you want to have for your life, and then at the end of all this, actually go and action it?
Hell yeah. Love that.
It's going to be some amazing leaders coming out of this course and just going and crushing life at the end of it. It's going to be great.
Wait. And as you said, yeah, I'll link everything in the description of this podcast on the podcast page. It'll be easy to find, but again, hollyloxton.com. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm going to be listening to this back whenever I'm feeling like I need a little bit of a boost.
Yeah.
The insight is very much appreciated. So thank you.
Thanks for having me, and I hope that was really helpful for anyone listening. Just remember, you know, you were born worthy. No one can ever take that away from you. You're human. You're here. You're worthy. Congratulations. If you can't anoint yourself, I'm anointing you now.